Hi, and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. I'm Todd Killian. It is November the 1st. Halloween has passed us, and we are full on. Happy Christmas podcast day, November the 1st. I'm a little short on the announcements. If you're listening to this on the 1st or 2nd, before lunchtime on the 2nd, Christmas Without Cancer shirts are still for sale. I will be pulling them down noon Central Standard Time on the 2nd of November. I want to make sure everybody has had a chance to get the shirts that wanted to. They've done very, very well. More on that in a week or so ahead. But welcome to this special November 1st Monday edition of Christmas Clatter. Now through November and December, there will be episodes definitely on Wednesdays, but be checking around YouTube and your podcast app Mondays and Fridays for extra content as we get closer and closer to Christmas. I am so excited that it is the 1st of November. Everybody that is the 1st of November for Christmas, welcome aboard. We'll wait for all in day, the Friday after Thanksgiving, but lots and lots going on around here. I'm going to be posting some links. There's some podcasts and some YouTube live streams I'm going to be a part of that are not Christmas themed, but I guess I'm the that sounds hokey, but they needed somebody Christmas on their for their show, so they chose me for whatever reason. So when those happen, pay attention to my social medias. I will post those there. And today, time to cuddle up with a good book, a fiction book called Deck the Donuts. It's part of a cozy mystery series from Kensington Publishing, and I have the author with me, Ginger Bolton, to talk about this book. And it was a great, great book. Sweet, sweet lady. It was just, you know, you think of the holidays, you think of cold outside, snuggle up with a blanket, you know, hot chocolate, this, that, and a good book. And this book may fit the bill for you. It did for me. I quite enjoyed it. And so that's enough of me. Here is my Christmas conversation with Ginger Bolton, author of Deck the Donuts. Well, making her Christmas Clatter debut is Ginger Bolton. She is an author of a mystery series that I know you guys out there listening and watching will enjoy. She seems like a kindred spirit from what I've read and read of her things, enjoying good company and all things sweet and donuts. The series we are talking about is the Deputy Donut Mystery Series. It is a part of Cozy Mysteries series, and she has a new Christmas book. I'll have to edit this part. I'm going to act like the book's already released because this episode will happen after the book's out. Okay. All right. And it's out and available now. Links to the book are down in the show notes and descriptions. It is called Deck the Donut, and it follows, this is the 6th in a series, which I didn't realize it until I started reading the book, and it follows our hero, Emily Westhill, and just some shenanigans and some mystery and some Christmas, and it was a fun time. Ginger, thanks so much for joining me here on Christmas Clatter.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Well, I always ask people, I always love it when people that write or play music and create music come on, because I just know that things always start as this, I say this phrase all the time, as a little seed of an idea. And then there's this process from when it goes from that idea to it's on paper. This isn't your first series of books. It's, you know, at least your second that I know of. And it's the 6th one in this particular series. So before we get straight to Deck the Donuts, just tell us a little bit about your journey of writing these cozy mystery books.
Writing was something I always wanted to do. And I kind of had it in mind. I would love to write a book. And so Deck the Donuts is my 11th. So that's, and there are two more coming. So that's, oh, wow. Yeah, 13. So that's pretty exciting. I didn't start writing until I stopped having to work for pay. Uh-huh. I worked in the financial industry, and numbers are boring. I think numbers are, well, no, they can be interesting, but yeah. It was numbers, and a little bit of writing, but mostly numbers. So also, you meet some sort of villainous people in the financial industry. So murder mysteries just were right down my alley. And then cozy mysteries are wonderful because I was writing I was trying to write suspense. Uh-huh. It wasn't thrillers or anything. It was just kind of a little bit scary. Right. And right at the dark moment, my characters were making puns. And it turned out that cozy mysteries are much more suitable for somebody who just can't help a little pun here and there.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That makes that makes a lot of sense. That's what I liked about it. It's like, oh, this isn't the right time for a joke, but there's one here. <You know? laughs> And that's a.
Well, I don't even know if I'm. You can't really tell if you're being funny. Sometimes you can, but it's kind of up to the reader.
Uh-huh.
And so I never know. Yeah. But also in my writing journey, I happened to join Sisters in Crime, and they have a chapter called The Guppies, the Great Unpublished Writers. Uh-huh. And I joined that way back when, and they are really good at, here's how you go about it. Uh-huh. Here's how to find an agent. Here's how to find a publisher. And here's how to write. So if any wannabe writers are out there, join Sisters in Crime and look for their Guppies chapter. So I met people through that. And they're, one of them is Krista Davis, who's a very well-known cozy author. She introduced me to my first agent and editor.
Ah, yeah, those connections are vital, really, no matter what creative endeavor you're going to take, because it's like, it's hard for one person to find all the answers by themselves. And
yeah, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right idea. And I felt very lucky. So I am very lucky.
Yeah. Well, here in Deck the Donuts, like I said, it's the sixth one in this series, and it's like, you're touching, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to read the first five, but I have a collector's spirit. So since now I have number six, it is a requirement of my innermost fiber to get 1 through 5 to go along with it, you know. So
and forget number six when you read and start in the beginning,
you know. So, but it's like you touch on the times of the year and the holidays, and you've now landed in Christmas. And I was able to find like bits and pieces of each book and read them here and there. And you have this great hero in the book, and her name's Emily, and she owns a donut shop, and she has a cat. And it's like there's this growth that's happened through the books, from the best I can tell. It seems that that she's really growing into her own. The town is in Wisconsin, small town is Falling Brook, I believe. And, and she's really growing. When you set out to write this series, I assume that you would prefer to write a series versus just a book and then you're done, and then another book, stand alone. do you have a, I guess since you're writing a series, you do have a preference, but tell us about that, how you come up with the concept of this main character and the surrounding characters, which are great and add so much in their own right.
Well, the first, the idea came from the Cops and Donuts shop in Clare, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
and a town that the bakery, the main bakery, the bakery is a small town, was closing, and all nine cops, I think it was nine in the town, bought it and run it.
That's fantastic.
And also their donuts are really, really good.
Oh, that helps out a lot too.
So that was that. That was how I got the idea. And talking with my agent at the time, she suggested that my main character needed to either be the widow of a detective or have an ex-911 operator. So I made her both. Yeah. And then I wanted more cops related to this donut shop. So her father-in-law, the father of the of her late husband, owns the shop with her. And then you need a few sidekicks. So, and I wanted first responders. So one best friend is a policewoman. The other one is EMS. And also among their friends is the fire chief. Yep. So then you have, you know, your basic cast of characters, and you start adding love interests and things for them. And of course there had to be a cat.
The cat's
named Deputy Donut, and she let Emily use her name for the store. So then they had to call Deputy Donut Depp. The cat is just Depp, because for one thing, I didn't want to get myself confused or anyone else.
Right. I understand that, but it's just, it was a really fun read.
Thank you.
And that just doesn't roll off my tongue. My wife knows that, as a reader, to sit down and read a book is sometimes a struggle for me. not because I don't enjoy reading, and I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, is sometimes I had a little bit of dyslexia I had to overcome as a kid, and stuff. And sometimes it kind of rears its head, so the comprehension isn't quite there sometimes. But this book, I was able to sit down and just kind of and go through it without any trouble, you know. And I told my wife, I said, I think it's actually my problem reading is kind of self-selective in my psyche. It's like, if I don't really want to read it, it gets really hard. But this one, I was able to sit down and I really enjoyed it. And I just kind of knew the way you pinned Christmas in this book that, you know, we would be fast friends, because I think we have a lot of the same ideas and the same thoughts and the same likes, other than coffee. I'm not a big coffee fan, but
that's too bad.
I am the black sheep of my family in that regard. I am the only one that is not a big coffee drinker.
So. Well, actually, it's an addiction. So yeah, it's one that's just as well not to have. I didn't have coffee one day this week and ended up with a caffeine withdrawal headache. Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah, instead of coffee, I've taken to sodas, unfortunately, which aren't any better, I don't think. They're probably actually worse, probably because of the other things they add into them, you know. So, but I really like this thought of people gathering in the donut shop and eating donuts and drinking coffee and being around each other at Christmas time and the place being decorated. That just, you know, reading that type of imagery and the things that the characters went through and stuff just was really great. And you know, it's cozy mystery. It was cozy. It put me right in the Christmas spirit. And you did such a great job with this book. I encourage everybody to go pick it up, because it would be absolutely fun read for the holidays. And it actually reminded me of quite a bit of my own family, in a way. And I really appreciate you, put this down.
Thank you. I'm going to hold it up.
Yes.
Deck the donuts.
Yes. Yes. And because my family has a tradition. This will be the 26th year this year. We have a day called Cookie Day. And my mom decorates the house. She's where I get all my Christmas love from. She decorates her house like crazy. She puts up 25 Christmas trees and in every room's decorated like crazy. And she bakes cookies and then has an open house, and whoever wants to come over comes over and eats cookies and drinks coffee or apple cider and just visits and talks and, you know, enjoys one another's company. And
is this before Christmas, like a week or so before?
Yeah, it's usually the first or second Friday in December, kind of depending on, the schedule, work schedules and stuff like that. Like this year, it's going to be on the 10th of December.
So that really gets people into the mood and gets the Christmas season started. That's wonderful.
Right. You know, she'll make anywhere from 20 to 25 different kinds of cookies. And, we guess there's usually about 4,500 to 5,000 individual cookies she makes, and reading the story.
I love donuts, but you know what? I like cookies even better. Yeah.
So, reading the story of the donut shop and Emily and the Christmas time, it was just like, yeah, this is so close to what I experience every year at cookie day at my mom's. It's like, it's like Emily could have been my mom.
My characters had a cookie baking and tree decorating party before the story began. Uh-huh. I think they did.
So, but it was, I liked it because it was, I love people that write and write well, because mainly it's something that I'm not that great at. And it's like, I've read a book before and it's like, I had no relation to any of the characters and it's tough, it's almost like when I picked it up, even though it was number six, it was like, I kind of knew them already within a little bit,
Good.
Yeah. It was really good. I really appreciate that. You see, you got two more books in the works, for this series. Is that going to be the end of it, or are you going to keep rolling with
it? It depends on the publisher, and that depends on sales. So yeah. I'm thrilled that this series is going to 8. So
yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind starting another series. I mean, these poor people. This is like all these murders in this small town. You feel really sorry for them.
Yeah.
Like when my Threadville series ended, people keep complaining because they wanted it to continue. And I keep saying, well, those poor people, they get to just enjoy their lives now instead of solving mysteries.
Yeah.
Because that must be stressful.
Yeah. When I was reading through some of the synopses of the previous books, hopefully you just don't hang up on me, but my first thought was, this sounds like Murder, She Wrote. That poor little town she lived in was just, stricken with bad luck,
Yeah. So. Well, all the cozy mystery series have this problem.
Yeah.
But Murder, She Wrote has been going on the longest.
Yeah, it's like 212 episodes or something like that. In some little upstate New York town or whatever it is. It's like,
I try not to put more than one murder per book because it's just not fair.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have a historical murder along with a contemporary one. So
yeah, the thing I liked about this too was, like the murder and stuff, it happened off the page, and so if you have a young reader out there, this would be a great book for them, to get started and in that. And so I see your Christmas tree and your red sweater and your mug. Are you a monster Christmas fan at heart, or?
Yeah, at heart, but I could never be like your mother or even 125th like your mother. I love it when other people do it, so I tend to invite myself to other people's places for Christmas and let them do all the work and the cooking and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand that. That's fine, because the people like my mom and myself that really go all out, we need people to invite over.
somebody has to appreciate it.
Well, yeah, it's like I'm just inviting you over here to go, good Lord, look at all this work you've done. It looks great. I'm just looking for a little affirmation myself.
Look at you. You've got this nutcracker and Christmas tree.
Yeah, this is my little, I call it my Christmas cave. My tree stays up year round, and And it's just my thing, you know, and it's a lot of fun. But so you're a Christmas fan. Are there any Christmas traditions you have that you know, I know a lot of people, I ask this question, they're like, oh, we're just like everybody else. But there's usually something that's a little bit unique to you or your family that you really enjoy in tradition.
Well, we do Christmas stockings.
Yeah.
So we just put little things in stockings. So sometimes it's almost all candy, but we open the stockings before breakfast. Then we have breakfast and then we head for the tree.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how it usually goes. And if there are small kids around, there's a lot of clamoring for let's do this sooner, sooner, sooner. Why do we have to have breakfast?
Yeah.
And then some poor person has to go and fiddle with turkeys and things somewhere in there.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds fun. We're a stockings at the end of everything family.
Oh.
I have, since I started this podcast, I found out there's two camps, stockings at the beginning and stockings at the end. And we're our stockings at the end of type of families.
Yeah, well, the stockings, I guess, at the beginning began when I was a kid, just to, you know, keep us quiet for a while. Because the stockings were in our bedroom. They were actually hung over the ends of our beds.
Oh, that's cool.
And but I think we carried them downstairs to open them. I don't actually remember.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that used to be the thing, to put the stockings in your bedroom. And Santa Claus, when he comes to our house, he doesn't do it to all the kids. Three of my kids are too big now. But my youngest, when they were all smaller, I have four kids. When they were all smaller, Santa Claus, when he'd show up, he'd sneak in their bedrooms and leave them a new stuffed animal in their bed so they'd wake up with a new stuffed animal every Christmas morning.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that's nice.
But my 8-year-old little girl, she's the only one that... That digs that still, so he's quit on the big ones for that. So.
One year I was sure I heard jingle bells.
Uh-huh. You probably did.
probably one of the aunts and uncles.
Yeah, you probably did. But is there are there any takeaways from Deck the Donuts that you just want to leave people with? Was there something that when you sat down to write it and you were finished that you just thought, I really hope people get this out of Deck the Donuts?
Well, you might have noticed there was taking the stranger in at Christmas time, the stranded passengers. But I just hope people see that it's nice to be nice to people.
Right.
Other than murdering them, but
right. You know. Yeah. I enjoyed that theme too. There was, I don't want to say, I've kind of skirted around the book cause I don't want to say too much cause I don't want to spoil things. Just everybody take our word for it. It's worth your time. And, but there's a bus accident, on the way to a festival in the small town that our main characters are at. And the town, steps up and, you know, finds a place for everyone that was on the bus, you know, to make sure they have a warm and safe place to be. And I really appreciated that because that's kind of a theme that's kind of been stirring around, you know, myself this year. I always do a Christmas Eve, a special Christmas Eve episode of Christmas Clatter that's a little bit more serious. I don't really want to use the word religious or spiritual, but a little bit more higher ideal, I guess you would say. Concepts that people should be able to, you know, grab a hold of no matter what your particular beliefs are, you know, and that this is one of, you know, taking in the stranger and you know, being welcoming of them, you know, being cordial host, you know, to people that need help. That's really been stirring, and it's kind of something that's going to come up again for our Christmas Eve episode. And I really appreciate that. And this was one of the books of the Cozy Christmas series that I chose to read. And I can tell you the truth. I just kind of had the titles to go by, and I chose this one because the name made me laugh, but it just happened to be the right book for me at the time. And it's just great how that kind of stuff works out.
It was going to be Frosty the Donut it was going to be the title, but my editor didn't think that was murderous enough. So I guess Deck the Donuts is a little bit better.
Yeah, but I liked Frosty the Donut. I thought that was a clever concept.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he got in there anyway.
Yeah, I did like that. That was a clever concept. And I don't know. Frosty the Donut probably would have grabbed me too. Probably it's just the word donut, to tell you the truth.
That'll do it. And I actually think it's a really pretty cover.
Yes, it is. It is. And I'll show it here on the screen. And of course, it has a cat, and that little cat shows up everywhere, and it cracks me up. The donut. Just funny, but what's it?
And the artist did. I mean, I love the. There are blues in the outdoor of the cover, blues and greens and purples. It's just a night scene. It's just so pretty.
It is. It's like as soon as you see it, it has that little tree there, and the donuts are all decorated like Christmas. And there's all the snow and
somebody knocked over a bowl of sprinkles, and of course it was not the cat. The innocent look on the cat's face that she did not do that.
Right. Well, it was whoever left that in the way.
Yes.
That's their fault, because that's the way cats are. It's your fault for putting it there. You're not my fault for knocking it over. But it is. The artist is for this cover was fantastic. The one thing I really liked about this cover, and it's really, I guess kind of minute, is the little hollies on the tablecloth. I just, it's not like it doesn't stand out and scream at you, but I just loved it. It's like, where can I find that tablecloth at? I need a tablecloth just like that.
I looked at it and I thought, I think I have that tablecloth, or some relative had it, or
I thought that too. I thought, was that at grandma's house? But maybe that's what it was, just that little nostalgic factor from that tablecloth. But like I said, I just want to encourage everybody to go pick up Deck the Donuts. And it's available on Amazon, wherever you find books. And the Amazon link will be down in the description and in the show notes. And it'll just be a tap away. Ginger is a wonderful, wonderful author. And you guys will, have a great time reading a book. I know a lot of people around the holidays like to grab a blanket, grab their coffee, grab their hot chocolate, and just kind of, we call it batting down the hatches around here at my house, where you just kind of shut yourself in away from the cold and snuggle down and enjoy some quiet time with a book. And, I know some people enjoy music or a puzzle, but, having a book, there's just nothing that it just takes you to a different place for, a few hours and have a good time and have a lot of laughs along the way and a little mystery too. And a few twists and turns that, gotta be honest, I didn't really see coming. So I was really surprised.
So. Also books. But I like books as gifts, as Christmas gifts, or as gifts any time of year, either to give or to receive. Yeah. And you'll notice on Christmas morning when people are opening their packages, if somebody gets a book, an adult gets a book, it's almost bye-bye. They start reading it right there.
Yeah. You flip open the pages and the within a few lines the book's got you, and it's like, sorry, I can't continue anymore. I need to go figure out what's going on here. So it is a great gift, and like I said, it I really enjoyed it. My wife's going to read it next, then probably I got a few young readers in my house that I'll let them have a turn at it and see what they think. But it was really, really great. I really appreciate you hopping on here to talk to me about this.
I always like talking about books. Of course, I finished this a year and a half ago. So,
oh wow! So you've been sitting on it for
and the version you have is the advanced review copy, and there are a lot of mistakes in it. So, I hope you get to really read the real one.
Well, like I said, I didn't notice any of the mistakes. So,
I won't mention them right now. But
Well, let me ask you this. Before I let you go, you know, being such a book fan and being an author yourself, I know there's, Christmas Carol is probably the most famous Christmas book, written. Are there any other Christmas books you've read or that really stand out to you?
Yes, there's one I really like. It's Miracle and Other Christmas Stories by Connie Willis. And the first story in it, Miracle, is a hoot. It's got the Christmas spirit in it, and he's a little bit difficult. And he brings people their dearest wish, but they don't even know that that's their dearest wish. So it's I like to read it. I read that almost every Christmas.
Really?
That's a really good one. We watched A Christmas Story 9 million times. I've read the book that goes with too, but the movie is incredible. So
yeah,
the one I always go back to is the Connie Willis one, and obviously that was only written not that many years ago, so I don't have one that I've gone to every year. But we used to watch A Christmas Carol on TV, a really old version of it.
Right, right.
I loved that. Yeah. The clanking chains and everything.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine, Art, and he's a big Charles Dickens fan in general. And Christmas Carol is his favorite book. And I think he reads it a few times a year still. It's like, or at least once a year. And I have a copy of it on audiobook narrated, read by, Patrick Stewart. So I listen to that every Christmas, have him. The book's a little bit different than the movie. It's a little creepier and spookier. And
I'm not even sure if I ever read it. If I did, it was years ago, but
yeah, you should
read. Yes, I did. I did. Yeah. I remember buying it at a book fair when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't read it for a while, you should reread it this Christmas. It doesn't take that long to get through. And it's really, I'm surprised that all the movie remakes don't embrace that creepy horror-ness to it as much as the book does. I don't know what it is, but it would be a treat if it did. But I'll have to check out that other one by Connie Willis. And see, because it got me intrigued on that. But
there are a bunch of stories in that book, and I really like that one. And I think I like a lot of them. One of them is really creepy. It takes place in a toy shop in New York City.
Ooh, all right, that's got my interest too. So.
FAO Schwartz.
Yeah, that's it. I appreciate that recommendation, but for those listening out there, before you hop on that Connie Willis book, head on over and check out Deck the Donuts by Ginger Bolton. You will not be disappointed. You will have a great time, have a lot of fun, and it really embraces the holiday and the spirit of Christmas. And Ginger, thanks so much for being on Christmas Clatter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And this is a really fun, podcast you have.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And for those listening on the podcast and on YouTube, Christmas Clatter is a Very Merry Media production. And remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.